Dance is a performance art form consisting of purposefully selected sequences of human life and human movement. This movement has aesthetic and symbolic value, of course. In 2008, DanceLink was founded to promote community and to communicate profoundly through the multidimensional instrument of the body. Tapping into the drama of theatrical performance comes an amazing juxtaposition that takes place, both in modern symbolism and with overarching human truths. Enter Basement Poetry, a spoken word performance arts company founded in 2015 to create art that speaks volumes of social injustice, racial discrimination, and sensitive issues that affect all of us. The Lehigh Valley performance premiere of What Lies Within, Dancing with Race and Identity, offers racial understanding and healing through the spoken word and through dance movement. Sarah Carlson is founder of DanceLink. Recently, she noted that in a mixed racial company, we are calling attention at our different experiences as people in word and in movement. Chloe Cole Wilson, founder of the art and artistic director of the Basement Poetry, notes that, well, I hope that we can continue to heal our communities through poetry, spoken word, and dance. The partnership is formed. The mission is followed. And the moment of tenderness, catharsis, and inspired revelation seems to be almost completed. This is WDIY 88.1 Allentown, and you are listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, who has recently and directly come from the Women's March in Washington, we chat today with Sarah Carlson, founder of DanceLink, and with Chloe Cole Wilson, poet, theater artist, and artistic director of Basement Poetry. Welcome, 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 welcome.
Thank you. I must say that
the performances of What Lies Within, Dancing with Race and Identity, will be at the Ice House in Bethlehem on Friday, February 10th at 8 and Saturday, February 11th at 8 o'clock as well. And now, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yet again.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for being with us. I'd like to start by just backing up a minute. Thank you, George, for the overview. If both of you could tell us just for a moment a little bit about both DanceLink and Basement Poetry before we talk about the collaboration. Let's meet the individual players.
Sure. So this is Sarah. Sarah Carlson. I am the artistic director of DanceLink. That is my pickup dance troupe, which is to say that we get together each year on a project-per-project basis, and it's been going since 2008. And basically, DanceLink seeks to bridge the power of movement and understanding and people in a way that creates theater and dance that's more accessible, especially dance. Dance tends to be one of those art forms that people don't know what's happening around. They always want the choreographer to explain what's happening. And so anyway, my goal is to create work that's more easily understood and really speaks to the heart of the larger truths of our lives.
Okay. And Chloe?
Hi, my name's Chloe, obviously. I am the artistic director of Basement Poetry. Basement Poetry actually started in a Northampton Community College classroom. It was six of us got together and we were like, let's write some poetry or something and show it to our friends. And so it started off as a passion project. And ever since, it kind of just grew into bigger than those six girls. Mm-hmm. And we use the power of poetry, theater, we've used movement, we've used so many different art forms, and we create these devised shows with emerging artists in the area who have expertise on some of the topics that we talk about.
And you've both worked at the Ice House. Both companies have been at the Ice House before. So apart from this project, how did then you come together? How did this, what spurred the project? What was the seed of this piece?
Well, the idea of tackling a show about race had been knocking on my door for a while. I've been toying with it in the back of my head. And then I met Kara Bender, who is a national trainer for Crossroads Anti-Racism. She is actually a neighbor of mine. And when she mentioned that she had been hired by Crossroads and she had a lot of expertise in this area, I thought, okay, here's that knock again. And I felt strongly about moving forward. And I realized that Dance Link as a group is mostly white. And I realized I needed to align myself with another artist group of color, mostly of color. Yeah. And so I was introduced to Chloe through Doug Royson, who is the originator of the Ice House Tonight series. And she was open to my project, to this idea. And that's how the project was born.
And Chloe, is this the first time you guys, you've been working with emerging artists. You create the devised pieces. So kind of the players change a lot, I would imagine. It's the first time as a company that you've actually co-created a piece with another company.
Actually, yes, this has been. This is the first time we've collaborated with like we're collaborating with Haven House for our sick project, and it's a mental illness clinic up on Union Boulevard, and they give services to low income or any income people about mental illness and all that cool stuff. And so that's how we collaborate in a different way, giving services kind of to our artists and kind of guiding us into the right path of making sure this art makes sense. But yeah, this is the first time that we've done this with other artists. So this is really cool.
Yeah, it's my first collaboration as well.
Is it really?
Dance Link. I know. It's wild.
And we were talking a little bit before the show. So one would assume Dance Link brings dancers to the project. You said some have had more or less experience working with text before, but it's not an unknown or
exactly. We've had some speaking in prior performances, but this performance will be speaking the entire way through.
Okay.
So in a much more constant thread.
Now, Chloe, you are a choreographer and a dancer as well in another part of your head in life, or whatever, maybe not another part. So the folks coming in from Bass and Poetry have the poetry, of course, writers or poets. How much dancer movement was present in the folks that are collaborating before?
Well, my one poet, Deirdre Johnson, she didn't have much.
Okay.
She was just like, I'm excited to do a project that's focusing on dance. That'd be really exciting. But she's more of a giver choreography, and she'll be like, okay, this is great. But like, kind of creating it and creating this movement with her body can be very difficult for her, but she's come up to the challenge and she's been doing very well.
And Kara is in it as well?
Yes.
Kara Bender, who we talked about previously.
Yep.
Is doing the piece.
She is doing the piece. So she's our other non-performance trained body in the room. But my goodness, she has shared incredible training with us. She actually worked with us for the first month of rehearsal, helping us build a foundation of courageous space and an environment in which we could safely speak about some of our experiences. Also, she helped us unpack and understand more fully what racism is and how it operates in our lives, systemic racism and individual racism.
I'm intrigued, and I'd like to hear more about the rehearsal process. But
yes, please.
I'm intrigued by the comment that when we're talking about exploring identity, racial identity, our own identity, race, etc., that for the white performer, that it's not a question they're used to addressing and processing.
Right.
Could you speak to that a little bit? I think that's really interesting, which makes sense. But
and I think a lot of it comes from this fear of like, oh, I'm going to be called a racist. You know, any white ally or like white liberal does not want to be called a racist, like in real time. So I think we've created such a space that is so comfortable that you can fail in that, and that it's okay for you to ask these questions that may seem like they're racist, but it's just in your development. You're developing. And I think a lot of people forget that systematic racism affects us all, and it dehumanizes all, and it forms different types of ways we see ourselves and how we communicate with each other. So for white folks to get that question and to find an answer to it can be very difficult. But I think we've achieved getting some of those answers out.
Mm. And Karen, Sarah, how are the structures of the piece as you devised it in rehearsal? Are they vignettes? Are they small stories together and relating one
a lot
to
of
another?
It came or from improv. Mm-hmm. Right.
So is there a thematic form throughout the whole thing? Oh, there is.
Yes, there is a story arc that we had a general idea going into the process, and now that we have been building poetry and creating original work, we have a much more concrete poetic arc to the show, and it basically does end up being a long series of vignettes, but they are clumped under thematic themes. You know, there's an opening, and then there's the idea. So unpacking whiteness, how do we come into understanding what that means for us, and then stories of oppression. We have a parenting section. How do we parent? So.
And Chloe, you were saying that the poetry, the text, the poetry is all new for the show.
Yep. All new
written,
for the show, except
for
one piece we pulled from another show. But everything, at first when we were like getting together and working on this process, we were like, I'm concerned that we're not going to have enough poetry and that we're going to have to pick things up and we're going to have to find things from different places. But actually, our cast came through with some great stuff.
Right, so we have
both of our
we have poets who are dancing, but we also have dancers who are writing poetry. And so it's been a really nice blend, and we've gotten to dig into one another's art forms, which which has been really fun.
You talk about vulnerability and a safe place to be vulnerable. That has to be very vulnerable making too, for people to step outside their zones of identity as a dancer or as a poet. Like, oh, I'm moving, but I'm not a dancer kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting. Many, many years ago when Mayfair started, and they used to bring in folks for residencies, they brought in Yasha Kachuma, a modern dancer, who said, well, I'll need six dancers, and I'll need six actors, and I need six old ladies. And when we all met, she's like, see, the problem with you, you dancers, you can't talk. You don't know how to talk. And she's like, but you actors, you don't know how to move. We were all like, well, actually we do, but we don't want to embarrass ourselves in front of each other. So it was very, you know, you feel like, well, this other person really knows what's going on and I don't. So that, I don't know if that paralleled the experience of identity too, with the race and the sharing and the kind of, I'll look stupid, I'll say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I'll do the wrong thing.
That definitely is a huge parallel. And so we're dealing with those two looming things, but it's been working out very well.
Has it?
It's been working out really well.
Yeah. Did the movement and the poetry and the such often address the process and what people discovered in the process, as well as the topics that things are like, as well as being about parenting? Do you think the process also influenced the writing, that that what was being explored in the rehearsals actually is part of what we're seeing on stage, the discoveries?
I think more so for our white folks, a part of the show, there is a process that you start to see. Because a really awesome piece was written by this girl named Rachel in our production, who is a Dance League dancer. And she writes about this honesty of having to market and diversify her photo album for her company. And so, like, in her writing that, I think she was finding some things as well. And so you'll see that.
Yeah.
And I think for her, that was a whole another journey and another look at race.
Huh. Interesting. George, do you have, I'm sorry, I get caught by our kind engineer, Steve Aronson, out of the corner of my eye. Are we heading for a break, or can we start?
Yes, we are, but I just wanted to remind everyone that at the risk of embarrassing, Sarah Carlson has taught dance at Muhlenberg and DeSales, Cedar Crest, and Lehigh University, and the University of Southern Mississippi. And we just wanted to make sure everyone knew that, and along with Chloe, who is, of course, one of the founders from 2015, of Basement Poetry. They have completed five productions in the last year and a half, I think. And we're very proud of what you're doing.
And Chloe's work has been performed at Lehigh, the Ice House, Northampton Community College, and Moravian College as well.
So, and we were at the Philly Fringe, too.
Oh, that's right. That was this past fall.
The Ice House tonight, incidentally, at the Charlie Brown Ice House in Bethlehem, is a series of artistic adventures providing stage collaboratives and innovative programming for established regional arts organizations throughout the Lehigh Valley. We shall return and learn more about what lies within after these salient messages.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon here on WDIY 88.1 in Allentown. I'm George Miller, and along with my wife, Kate Scuffle, we're chatting with Sarah Carlson, who is the founder of DanceLink, and Chloe Cole Wilson, who is the artistic director of Basement Poetry.
We're picking up from where we left off, talking about the group that's been meeting and rehearsing and working together. There's also two musicians, right? Two drummers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mo Geron and Vernon Mobley are our musicians, and they have been making magic. We spoke about a lot of the movement has been built via improvisation, and the music as well has been sort of just feeling our way. What works here? What doesn't work? And they are masters at that. For this production, Mo is mostly percussion, and Vern is doing keyboards.
Oh, okay. All right. And Chloe, you've worked with Vern before in creating recently with The Island, right?
Yes.
You were choreographer for The Island. What was that like working with him?
He's just incredible. I enjoy the collaboration. He's really great at just coming to your level and being like, hey, I know you don't know much about music, but let's make this work. Let me speak in a language that you can understand what I'm trying to do.
Right.
And I don't know. He's just really great. We did a lot of sound circles, and we spent 2 to 4 hours just trying to figure out what does a prison sound like? What is the emotions we're trying to convey throughout the production? And it was really great.
Will there be an element when we, with the audience, arrive at the Ice House and see the so-called finished product? How much is set? How much is still kind of loosely breathing? And how much room for improvisations or for the musicians or for you guys? Or
I think it
how
will
would you describe
be
how that's going to work?
Probably 75% to 80% set, and then some room around the edges for free expression. But the improv will still exist absolutely in the form of structure. So we have an idea of what we're going for in this moment. And so, for example, one of the structures is called run, walk, stop. So at any given point, you can decide how you're going to run or walk or stop.
Yes.
And that is free form. It's a very free form structure because you've got 10 people in the room doing that, and anything can happen.
And what is it? It's 14 with the musicians. 14 performers.
There's 13 performers. Okay. Yeah. So there's 11 dancers and poets, and then 2 musicians.
Go ahead.
We talked very briefly before about how you were affected initially in getting into this particular piece. Chloe, you mentioned several things about how this partnership sort of came to be. And Sarah, you talked really because you completed a Fulbright grant studying ritual dance in Africa, how something affected you at that point. Would you expand on that, please?
Sure. That's really the seed of this piece for me. I did spend a year in West Africa, and that was really where I came face to face with my own white privilege for the first time. And it was very uncomfortable and very hard. I didn't even really have words to name what I was feeling. I came home and, without even realizing it, I was able to run away from it because of my own white privilege. I was able to not face it. But it still haunted me, and it still absolutely was there. And I've been doing so much processing and so much. It's taken me this long, and it's been about 10 years, to come to a place of really self-forgiveness. I think there's a piece of that that's had to happen for me to be able to face this.
I don't know if it was related to that, but I was going to ask, what's been the biggest surprise to either of you out of the process? What will you take away that you didn't expect? And Chloe, given that, hearing Sarah talk about that journey of dancing around that sense of white identity and what it means and dealing with it. And I don't know, what's been, for a woman of color, what's percolated up in this process that might have surprised you?
I think it's the writing. We have this section that's kind of unpacking whiteness and white identity for our white folks. And some really, really smart and insightful things were said in those pieces. And I don't know. It was just surprising to me because I think as a woman of color, I'm so focused on how white supremacy and all those kind of things affect me. And I never think about how it affects other white people because I don't think it has any effects, you know, because like I've dealt with like racism on a personal level and that's happened a lot to me in my life. And so I don't know. It was interesting. At first I was wary. I was concerned. I was like, why? What is she trying to get out of me? Is she trying to get a grant out of me? Is she trying to? And I'm like thinking to myself, like, what is this partnership doing for her financially or some type of gain? But now I've realized that it's enriched my life and it's enriched my poet's life. Right. And it's been a really, really great collaboration. And it's even opened my mind to thinking about how we as a company talk about race and how we develop our shows on race. So,
what I really learned is that we have so much to learn from one another, and that can only happen if we get to a place where we're able to listen to one another and hear one another. I am eternally grateful to Chloe for saying yes, because this is something that this is a moment where, and, you know, even in light of the march that you attended this weekend, clearly we are at a time culturally, nationally, socially, when these issues are paramount. And it's an opportunity for white people to start facing these things and taking responsibility. And we can't do it alone. I mean, we need partnerships. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because listening to your description of the process earlier on, I actually found myself envious of you. I thought, what would that be like for me? Like, what would I discover? I never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like an amazing journey. If you never reached performance, you know, if it had never even reached the ice house.
Absolutely. In many ways for me, this project is about the process more than the final product. Yeah. But it's still going to be great.
And we know that you have other parts to your life. I know, Sarah, that you're a certified interplay leader and co-director of Lehigh Valley Dance Exchange. So you have plenty of things going. What's next for?
Yes. Dance Link curates a series called 10 Tiny Dances, which features dances made for a 4x4 foot platform. Mm-hmm. And so our next 10 Tiny Dances is coming up on March 25th at Steel Stacks at 6:00.
Right.
And that next one features all rhythmic forms of dance.
Oh, great, great. And Chloe, how about basement poetry? I know that you have a bunch of
stuff coming up.
Okay, our next project for us is on April 13th. We're doing a show called Sick, and it dives into the topics of mental illness. We talk about four people dealing with OCD, depression, bipolar disorder, and it's kind of like a 24-hour span, and we pay attention to their lives and how they interact with people. And then May 25th and 26th, we're going to be doing For Color Girls. Actually, we're going to be working with a newer theater that's opening up called The Wells, and it's opening up in Center Valley.
Okay.
It's very, very new. It's again another passion project.
Great.
So that's where For Color Girls
Great.
Will be.
Well, we're looking forward to having seen all of your things, both of you, in the very near future. Thank you so much for sharing this evening with us. And I hope your partnership continues forever and ever and ever.
Again, what lies within Dancing with Race and Identity, February 10th and 11th, 8 p.m. at the Ice House.
Yes, thank you. And special thanks to Steve Aronson, our technical engineer, who dances around radio blunders provided by my coughs and sputters, as well as a miraculous editing to all our bloopers on the air with the lightness of melody, the poetry of Whitman, and by the movement of a graceful ballerina. Thanks, Uncle Stevie.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
La La Land is one of the most exhilarating experiences you're likely to have at the movies. The screenplay and directing by Damien Chazelle, who directed Whiplash, the naive yet wonderful singing and dancing by Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, clever choreography by Mandy Moore, amazing cinematography by Linus Sondgren, superb editing by Tom Cross, and memorable original songs by Justin Hurwitz make La La Land more than a tribute to the golden age of Hollywood movie musicals. La La Land is audacious in its unvarnished exposition of the vagaries of romantic love and the realistic choices between career and Cupid. In La La Land, Sebastian, played by Ryan Gosling, is a struggling jazz pianist fired from his restaurant gig by J.K. Simmons, who received an Oscar supporting actor for Whiplash. Mia, played by Emma Stone, is an aspiring actress working at a movie studio lot coffee shop. They meet during a Los Angeles freeway traffic jam. They keep running into each other, finally brought together, not unlike Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, through song and dance. Their careers' trajectories separate them. Mia lands the lead in a major motion picture to be filmed overseas. Sebastian is hired for a tour by a jazz pop band led by Keith, played by John Legend. La La Land, by the way, is a derogatory term for Los Angeles and self-delusion. La La Land, the film, is an astounding piece of cinema. Look for it to garner numerous Oscar nominations, including picture, director, screenplay, soundtrack, song, actor for Ryan Gosling, and actress for Emma Stone. Emma Stone, who was nominated for an Oscar in the supporting actress category for Birdman, is a complete charmer. She's a graceful dancer and a quiet but emotive singer. The on-screen chemistry between Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling is palpable. Ryan Gosling, who was nominated for an actor Oscar for Half Nelson, downplays his goofy charm to bring forth a reservoir of strength of character that resonates with the determination. He's elegant on his feet. His voice is timid but expressive, and he accompanies himself quite well on the piano. La La Land is a film that loves Hollywood, and Hollywood will love La La Land. You will too. Get ready to hear the evocative Mia and Sebastian's theme during the Oscars telecast. A lot. If you haven't already, fly to La La Land. La La Land is MPAA rated PG-13 for some language. La La Land set the Golden Globes all-time record, receiving 7 in every category in which it was nominated. Opening February 3rd are The Space Between Us. Peter Chelsom directs Asa Butterfield, Britt Robertson, Carla Gugino, and Janet Montgomery in the science fiction film about the first human born on Mars who travels to Earth for the first time. Renegades. Stephen Quayle directs J.K. Simmons, Sylvia Hoax, Sullivan Stapleton, and Ewan Bremmer in the action film about Navy SEALs discovering treasure in a Bosnian lake. I Am Not Your Negro. Raoul Peck directs a documentary narrated by Samuel L. Jackson about Remember This House, James Baldwin's unfinished novel about race relations in the United States. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.
This is WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. We are the Lehigh Valley's community NPR station and your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of handpicked music. It's currently 36 degrees with heavy rain around the area. It's breezy. And that rain's going to continue for most of the night. Could get some wintry mix as well later in the overnight. Temperatures getting down to about 34 degrees. The time is approaching 6:30, and that means it's time to take charge of your life.